today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I tend to forget how close Leesburg is to the Potomac. Yeah. I probably, if I owned a boat, could make it here faster than I do by car.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. You'd the rocks might get you, Rob.
No, not me, because I'm going to stay in the channel.
You see, once again, you... Old people love corn.
You know what? It put most of my family through college, old people loving corn. It was like plucking quarters from the ground. Every time we pulled an ear of corn, there's another quarter.
Corn on the cob.
I hope they're not wired like old Christmas lights that if one boy goes out, they all go out. Because then you have to test all the bulbs. That would take forever. Right? Who unplugged the boys?
And if you get the wrong bulb,
yes, exactly.
And you short the whole system out.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Wonderful day on the Mike O'Mara Show. Lots going on with all three of us. Hard for me to figure out where to begin. But anytime there is an opportunity for one of us to get on the magic box,
oh yeah,
I think it's a very special moment. And Rob Spiewak had a moment himself where you had an opportunity to actually help Sarah Fraser out with an audition.
I had
and
no
you
idea.
Ended up reaping the benefits.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Tell us about what happened.
I had no idea it would turn out this way. Do you watch the show Crashing on HBO about Pete Holmes, the comic?
Oh, I do. He actually has probably every famous comedian in
it's
the
great.
Country.
It's really
right?
great. They all play themselves. Artie yeah. Lang had a great arc mm-hmm. on it. And so I guess they were looking to cast disc jockeys because, you know, that's a plot arc where when you travel right. around the country, you have to sit in with a disc jockey. And Sarah Fraser, who hosts Hey Frage here at Podcast Village, got a contact from the management that was handling that show and said, we're looking for a talent outside of New York to play the disc jockey. And the scene that was sent to her was the traffic girl, who was Cindy, 25, heavily made up, and then disc jockey Lester, 50. And I said, she said, Rob, and actually, I have the script.
Please.
She says, Rob, would you look at this? And I look at it, and it says, door opens, and young woman leads Pete into booth where Lester, 50, and his sidekick, Cindy, 25, is heavily made up. She says, I need to do a scene read with a guy who's a 50-year-old disc jockey at a rock station. I said, I can do that. I can do that.
That's awesome.
So she gave me the script, and we went through it, and because of the facilities here at Podcast Village, we filmed it the way we do mm-hmm. the YouTube. So right. what the tape we sent to HBO looked like it was shot by HBO.
In the studio.
And that's Sarah great. Is, of course, she knocks it out of the park because she's perfect at it. She's winky and flirty. And the role of Pete Holmes in our audition, by the way, played off camera by Shannon Zabios.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very, very exciting.
Mind you, I'm in the edit bay. We're putting together with one of our editors, Leslie.
Yeah.
We're putting together an Instagram.
Stuff for the show.
Yeah. And all I hear is this cackling in the background. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. We're working here.
Because we have to, right. I mean, every time, we do probably 7 or 8 takes, and we screw up equally. I think it was a pretty good
mix. You guys
mix.
Were having fun, and frankly, the work for the show was done.
Right.
We were just doing the post work, but I knew they were doing something special because when people have fun and watch it over and over and over again, you know something. And I looked over, and it looked magical.
So we were laughing our heads off.
Did the excitement for watching those auditions match the excitement for our daily show?
Yes, it did. I would say no otherwise, but Rob knew if I saw him doing something other than what our show is about, there would have been a problem if our work wasn't done. Yeah. You're fine.
We were in good shape.
So you were supposed to help Sarah with an audition for this television show that she was going to be on.
Right. And then it comes back and they said, you know, Sarah, this is great. Are you free on, I think, the 24th and 25th mm-hmm. next week? We'll fly you up and fly you back. And all the stuff. She said, we also like Rob as Lester, so we're submitting him as well. So I got it back and I replied to her. I said, are we being punked? Because this is not what I expected. I just wanted to help out.
And you got the role, right?
It looks like it. I mean, I have nothing final. I've confirmed that I'm available.
Are you flying up to audition or are you flying
no,
up
it would
to
be, if
be
we
in
fly
it?
Up, it would be to be in it.
Well, I thought you told me you are flying up.
Well, that's they wanted to know my availability. And before I gave 100% availability, I wanted to check with you.
Oh, so you're actually this up. You don't know yet.
100%. I don't know yet. But I mean, I didn't even expect to get, hey, you know, thanks a lot.
He's beloved, though. He's wanted.
You will find out. When do you have any idea when you're going to find out whether you got the gig or not?
I think it would be today because we submitted that we're good. And I get, you'd love it. I get to do
And she's got the gig, though, right?
I imagine she does. It looks like it. She just sent me the email.
All right, so we don't know yet 100% whether it's going to be. But if you guys get the gig, you're going to fly to New York and tape the show
and film it. Yeah. Ooh. And it's really cool because it's a big deal. A one camera. I've watched the show. It's a one camera shoot, sitcom on film, and I've never done anything like that. And I get to do a Dr. Scholl's body odor commercial, and I get to make a joke about having to poop. So I get two good laugh lines in it, which is very exciting.
Is the premise that? And there's no, make no bones about it, a lot of comedians hate going into radio shows.
Oh, it's the worst, and that's what it's all about.
Is that the premise?
Yeah. And what it is, it's actually a funny scene. He's touring with a more seasoned female comic.
By the way,
comic.
That's become a definite cliche.
Oh, absolutely.
With comedians hating to go on radio shows, and we unfortunately have to deal with that. Mm. And there's really not a hell of a lot of difference when you really, really add it up between going on a radio show and going on a television show. We like the people that come in to have their A game, a la Louis Anderson with a wonderful interview.
Oh, yeah.
And they like to be, they like to have a host who's well prepared and knows what's going on.
Yes.
So it's frustrating when you get that kind of pigeonhole and you might get a total stranger comedian that comes. That's why we don't do a lot of comedians on the show, but that they actually have an attitude when they come in. But I guess what you're doing is you're perpetuating that stereotype.
Well, DJ Lester is not well prepared.
Okay, but is he a hack?
Yes.
Okay, well, then
absolutely a hack.
It is perfect.
And it's so
it's typecasting.
I fell into it so easy. I don't know why.
Well, no, but that's exactly, I mean, when you said you did your radio show.
I did the Rob Radio sort of attitude times one and a half.
Rob Radio attitude.
We have yelled, it was hackish.
Yeah, of course.
If you miss a little, you miss a lot?
I don't say that, but I will try to
throw that into the show. Throw that in there.
I will, absolutely. Anyway, here's what the producers wrote back to Sarah. It says, great job. We'll be submitting you to the producers. The date has changed, yada, yada, yada. Does that work? Also, I am submitting Rob Spiewak as Lester, unless he's not interested. Please let me know. Are you both based in D.C.? So I told Sarah, yeah, tell her I'm very interested and that we are based in D.C.
This is perfect. This is perfect timing for the show. We get to show off our goods and wares. We get to show off Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
What a great partnership. I love it.
I think I just want to know as soon as you get it, let us know and let the world know.
Of course.
And that's fantastic.
I shall not be shy nor demure.
What if you don't get it? If you don't get it, you needed a little lift this week.
Yeah. You know what?
We've been pounding on you pretty good.
It's nice to be wanted.
So. It was nice to know that, you know what? And honestly, and this will sound jive, I'm just
glad. Is there any chance it could be a full-time gig? No, I'm kidding, of course. I'm kidding.
You know, it's funny. I asked the same thing.
I bet you did.
But
is it a recurring role?
Really, what I wanted is I just wanted it to be right for Sarah because she's been very nice to us, and I was thrilled that she asked me to actually be her scene partner. But I
she's
did not foresee this at all.
In.
Oh
she's
God, yeah, in.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah,
she does a lot of different stuff, and she's great on our show, and that's going to be very, very cool. I'd like to. So she does.
Fingers crossed.
She a member of the guild?
She is. Okay. And that was mentioned in her letter, so I might have to get my card as well on this.
Yeah. Well, if that's a problem, you know, you do have one person on the show that does have his Screen Actors Guild card.
Yeah, but they wanted a 50-year-old, Mike.
No, by the way, I wouldn't be able to do it because I couldn't afford it. I'd have to get a 50-year-old, not a 60-year-old. Thank you. I wouldn't be able to afford the back dues.
Oh, that's right, because you're way behind, yeah?
Oh, I'm super. I have no idea what it even is.
I'm going to call HBO.
I don't think they kick you out. I don't think they kick you out. I think what they do is they just keep adding it up, and in order to get back in, you have to do that, and then maybe you can do a negotiation with them or something.
Maybe there's
like a
big enough gig where you're like, all right, this makes sense.
If you're playing Lester and you're 47 playing 50.
Right.
On KBBL, the Rock of Charleston.
Yeah, but you're 47. It's only 3 years, and I mean you're a 50-year-old looking 47, don't you think?
I think so. I think actually if you add them up, you get 97, and that's probably closer to the whole thing anyway.
You're a survivor, aren't you?
I am. You know what? I misspoke. It's WBBL because it's east of the Mississippi. Sarah said, this was funny. She said,
WBBL?
Well, on the script, it says WKBBL. I guess you can't,
do they want you to reveal any of this stuff?
Probably not. Yeah. Doesn't matter. But Sarah said, if they're mailing the script to disc jockeys, it's not really on a moratorium, I don't think.
Right.
But Sarah said, are you going to try a Southern accent if you're in Charleston? I said, let me tell you about Lester. If he's 50 and he's still in Charleston, he's worked everywhere.
Sure.
He's worked in a lot of 75 to 50 markets. Like probably Lester had a really good run in Detroit for like a little while, and then he landed in like Baton Rouge.
Oh my God.
So I know this is so sad because she says, wow, you've really thought about it. I said, no, I've just known guys like this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. A lot of guys like Lester.
WBBL, everybody. Hey, how you doing? It's WBBL. Let me play WBBL. WBBL, everybody. I'm Lester Holt. What's his name?
Just Lester.
It's DJ Lester. Yeah, coming up in just a second, we're going to bring our traffic girl in with the heavy makeup. Isn't she beautiful? Yeah, Charleston's finest, WBBL. Coming up just a few minutes from now, we're going to be talking to Yakov Smirnoff. In Russia, DJs eat you. What a great time it is. Hope you join me with the Lester Show. Good morning from WBBL. Oh, I got another one. I forgot the post. That's okay. That's why I'm working in Charleston after all these years. Thank you.
It's the rock of Charleston.
Now, not only did you have a good day yesterday with that, but our boy Oscar, who's been working his ass off in the Podcast Village Studios, working for about 400 different projects, and he finally got a little break at yesterday afternoon, right around cocktail hour.
Yes.
You were invited to go out on a booze cruise.
Yes.
And they actually picked you up at the Washington Harbor, right now, right down where the restaurants are, right down there where at the Georgetown waterfront, where they've got fountains and restaurants, and they've got one of our favorite restaurants that I'll give a free plug to, Farmers, Fishers, Bakers, and where we had our team brunch there one day.
Oh, it's such
fantastic.
A great place.
And you got picked up by your friend and right-wing, alt-right enthusiast, Todd Moore.
Yeah, they were on the SS Limbaugh.
God. Yeah, and by the way, tell Todd I know now he's trolling because he's having too much... He's having too much fun doing it.
He's got a lot of time on his hands to troll.
Yeah,
so,
he does.
So Todd and our friend Gil, it's not a yacht, by the way. It's a
pleasure boat?
It's more of a...
Cabin cruiser?
No, you know what? Not even a center console. It's a wakeboard boat. So if you want to go wakeboarding. So
it's a speedboat, a little small speedboat,
right?
Did you happen to know the horsepower?
About 19 feet, 20 feet?
A lot of
feet?
Fun. Enough to fit 5 people comfortably. Right?
Okay, so, I know the kind of boat you're talking about.
Did you note the horsepower on the engine?
Don't know enough about that.
That's on. They write it on there.
Inboard or outboard?
It goes, the motor?
Yes. Was the engine outside of the boat?
No.
Okay, so it's a little ski boat.
Yes, yeah. So, what I know about this boat, because I've been on it before, is that you can either go wakeboarding on it, or you can just hang and drink heavily, right?
Sure,
right.
I like to hang and drink heavily because I've never been able to really get up on the wakeboard just once.
Were you
in
the stern or the bow? Were you in the front of the boat or the back of the boat?
I was in both, Mike. I bebopped around. I was talking
really
to different
drinking.
Crews. Yeah. Yes,
you were really screwed. I told you to go out.
Were
and
you going
time.
From point A to point B to talk to people?
No,
hi,
yeah.
I'm Oscar.
No, I was going to the coolers. Which were in the back, right?
Five people, all men or men and women?
Five, it's four men, one woman.
That's a bad ratio.
That is
Todd's
a bad ratio.
That's Todd's girlfriend, right?
Oh, and yeah,
oh,
she's
Marissa.
Yeah, Marissa. She's very sweet.
Yeah.
Couple
she's
highlights.
My favorite. I love Marissa. She's wonderful.
The feeling of getting picked up.
Can't believe she's married to that monster.
Just feet. They're not married yet. They're just feet from your home is amazing.
That monster.
Right.
That was awesome.
Love the idea of walking down the street from your place and hopping onto a boat and going off for
first
an
time
afternoon.
That's ever happened. Felt incredible, right? I had flip-flops on, walked down in flip-flops.
You're
in the
welcome,
city,
ladies. Cool.
And jumped on.
Hot day in the nation's capital yesterday.
Beautiful day.
Actually,
we're
in the stretch. The stretch, probably the five prettiest days we'll get all summer.
Yeah.
Like
that's
89
wonderful.
And crisp. Yeah.
Delightful.
Everything was great until Todd started bitching about another friend that was being picked up from the Georgetown waterfront that it was his birthday. And the gentleman's not a younger man. He's in his 40s, right?
And it's Todd's friend?
And no, it's
is it Shepard
it's
Smith?
Gil's friend, the captain, the owner, oh. The owner of the actual boat.
Okay.
And Todd
Shep Smith.
Hey, I heard you're posting on Facebook again. That's some really wisdom. That's some great wisdom.
And let's bury that.
And Todd is bitching about his friend not showing up. I said, Todd, hey, man, it's not your boat. Relax. We're all just having beers here.
What time were you on the boat?
I was on the boat by 4:20, right?
4:20.
Hey, 4:20. Adrian, 4:20.
What time was 4:30 the appointed pickup time?
Four p.m. And I said, guys.
Of course, that's foolish of me. If you were there at 4:20, of course it was 4 p.m.
Four bells.
Yeah, 4 bells. And the friend was supposed to be there at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, they got there at 4:20. They had to gas up. It was fine.
Okay.
All right. It was fine. So I waited on the dock for a little while. I hung out. No big deal, right?
Okay, very good. All right.
So Todd and I and everybody on the boat, except for the captain, were getting hammered.
Did the captain have a hat on?
He did not.
Were you waiting at the dock on the waterfront?
Or the other friend, yes.
But it's not a dock. It's like granite. It's like... how do I want it to say? The dock is you can dock there, but it's concrete.
Yeah,
that's where
it's not like
are.
An old timey wooden dock.
No, it's not a ye old dock. You pull up to the sidewalk.
Yeah, it's like a parking lot.
Such an idiot. Sometimes when I'm trying to find words, it's like what I do for
things.
A living.
They're hard.
One,
Mike. Yeah.
What I think my friend Todd, and Todd, if you're listening, I hope you remember us telling you this yesterday. Not everybody can just leave work and jump on a boat, right?
Right.
So it doesn't matter if the guy, it's his birthday or not. We will wait for the gentleman, and we'll also wait for the gentleman because he probably has a full-time job, and he does because he worked for a big company that if I told you the name, you know why he wasn't there on time. He probably has responsibilities, right?
That's right. Costco.
But we're also, Mike, we're drinking. Like, what's the hurry?
Yeah, still on the boat.
We're still on the boat.
Did you know what the plan was? Was there a plan for a cruise?
Yes. Or? We were going to go wakeboarding, have a good time, go swimming, whatever we
now,
want.
Now, wakeboarding, I'm guessing that is like water skiing, but on a larger platform, right?
The fact that you don't know that is so upsetting.
How do you not know
what a wakeboard is? It's not
it's
like
a giant,
it's like skiing.
It's basically water skiing with a surfboard.
I just said that.
How do you all not right. know that?
I was pretty sure I was right, but also, you know, there are people that listen to this podcast in the Midwest. They might not be familiar.
Okay, it's like saying snowboarding. Is that ubiquitous?
And by the way, nothing can happen when you wakeboard when you've been drinking. Okay? nothing at all can happen.
Oh no.
As Charlie said when I left a podcast village, he said, please, maybe not wakeboard. There's too much going on.
Not with alcohol.
I said,
Oscar was horribly injured in a wakeboarding accident. And I go, oh my God, what's a wakeboard?
That's when you're sitting there going,
this is really great. Thump. Oh my God.
Decapitation. Oh no. Be very careful.
They took it a little tight under the key bridge.
Maybe for an hour, not a big deal, right?
Well, but an hour, if someone's taking you out on their boat, and you an hour is you should at least text or call
I am a guest on that boat.
Right.
I'm not going to do any bitching.
Is the captain?
He does not care. The captain does not care.
The captain doesn't care.
The only person bitching is our friend Todd.
That's weird.
I love that. See, that's what now let me just make it real clear here. That's why I love Todd. I hate Todd's political posts, but I love Todd. Because Todd would, if I had been on that boat, Todd would have a person to commiserate with. You know, how rude is this? This is a guy being honored by being taken out on a cruise on the SS ski boat with his, you know, on his birthday. And he's not right. Is he a chronically late individual?
No, this is the first time I've met him. I don't know.
What is more rude? Being late to the boat or complaining to the captain that the guy is late to the boat?
Late to the boat.
Well, no, is it the friend? Well, it's a captain's friend.
If you're on the captain's boat and you are complaining about the guy being late and you're doing it under the guise of being sympathetic to the captain who has arranged the outing,
I see.
Then it is rude. If you're just bitching like he's inconveniencing you,
see, then it's different.
Todd Moore was doing, as Oscar points to me, then that is rude. Then that is very, very rude.
Did he ever use the phrase, this is BS?
We all looked at him. We're like, he's like, I'm hot. We're like, get in the shade. Get in the shade.
Oh, so Todd was hot and he wanted to get the boat moving to cool him. I should have known. Well, it's totally selfish.
You see, Todd totally is a selfish. Lot closer to the sun than the rest of us because of his height.
He is
so it is hot up there.
So, by the way, we are overdue for a Todd Moore appearance.
I agree.
The gentleman shows up. Everything is fine. No more bitching. And quite frankly, I had a fantastic time. Two things I observed is one, I know nothing about boating, but it is intoxicating, the idea that you can just get on a boat and get away, right?
Mm-hmm. It's really intoxicating if you drink like a case of beer while you're out there, yes. too.
And then also that there are these rules. And did you know there are channels in the Potomac River? I did not know that.
Yeah, they have 4, 5, 7, and 9.
What?
Oh, God, I'm surrounded by morons.
And there are these buoys, and there are rules, and they're red and green.
Yeah, much because like, to make sure you don't go on land, because there's depth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me, may I, before you explain it, Rob, may I do it?
Please.
Because it's not so you don't go on land. It's
you don't bottom out.
But that might be another way of putting it. Yeah. Yes, you run aground might be the way that it would be described in boating. But the channels are in every major waterway because you want to prevent boats from going in water that is too shallow or has hazards under the water's surface. So this is the first time you became. Did you think just simply putting a boat in the water meant you go anywhere?
I thought you would have to worry about.
Let's go to Hawaii.
running aground off the coast of Miami, or no. running aground in Costa Rica.
No, any lakes, rivers, any bodies of water where there's boating, you have to be aware of where the issues are. They don't all necessarily have buoys and channel markers, but most major waterways do, including the Potomac River.
So
you'd hate for it to sink.
But I also realize
I'm the king of the world.
Is there's probably someone with one job to make sure that these buoys at night are lit up, that the lights
work. Not all buoys are lit up.
Why?
Because some of them are, and some of them are called day markers that don't have lights on them, and some of them are buoys that don't have lights on them.
Yes.
Oh.
Sometimes you're supposed to, that's why they have charts, because you want to know where your buoy is. But the significant ones hopefully have a light on them.
Is there a ways for the water?
There is GPS that on many boats now. You can buy GPS units that have charts there, chart plotters.
But you can follow,
and that's been around for years.
But
and
you
years
can follow years. The channels like you would Waze to say, if I'm here, I'm safe.
Were you out after dark?
Oh, it was. You couldn't see anything.
Well, then you have to be very careful. Up here in Maine, one of the things when you're taking a army hardy. A small craft is you have to be wary of lobster buoys because those are all over the bay and they're not necessarily, they're not marked. You know, they don't have lights on every
but don't you think
buoy.
On the Potomac.
That would cost the lobstermen a fortune, wouldn't it?
It would. God.
Don't you think they should all be lit on the Potomac River? They should all be lit.
We're in the most powerful city in the world. Can we light our buoys, please?
They're not necessarily
build a lighthouse on Roosevelt Island.
You need it. And day markers are what. Or did you run aground in this guy's ski boat?
No.
I mean, I'm sure it's got a very shallow draft. You know what a draft is?
Like in backdraft?
No.
No. A draft is the amount of water that the boat takes up. How much water the boat requires.
We were lucky because we are in a boat that doesn't need that much water. It doesn't require that much water to float, right? But a larger boat, as I was talking to the captain, he said, you have to watch these buoys because...
I'm the captain now.
They're your markers. Now...
Did the captain call you little buddy?
No, he did not call me little buddy. What I was also, I was shocked that not all of them were lit up.
Right.
Because only they would be every third one. Right?
Everyone on the boat was lit up.
Also, if one goes out, how do you report it? Do you call Miss
Utility?
You mean
as far as the channel markers?
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you go by, I suppose you count on the public to make people.
I hope they're not wired like old Christmas lights that if one buoy goes out, they all go out. Because then you have to test all the bulbs. That would take forever. Right? Who unplugged the buoys?
And if you get the wrong bulb,
exactly.
You short the whole system out.
You have to be aware of these things. You have to.
Whole city goes dark. Aware.
Right. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Have you ever lived on a boat? Because I found that also intoxicating when we pulled up to the marina. And I said, wow, there are people watching television on their boats. And not just
there are many people now, especially when I lived in Annapolis, many people that I socialized with resided on their vessels.
Why wouldn't you live on a boat? Because a slip fee is not that much money.
Well, the boat is a lot of money. If it's going to be a boat that's big enough to live comfortably on, mm-hmm. the boat would be very expensive. Probably as expensive as, say, a condo or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, if you're talking about a big yacht, you know, that's it's very simple. But as far as slip fees, you know, if it's just a slip for a small boat, mm-hmm. no, but that means you're living, you know, in your own poo.
And also think about, you're not really, it's not a great thing to do in the wintertime in most of the country. Even though you can shut all the windows and doors, still, a lot of times in the wintertime, they pull the boats out of the water.
Say you go through a horrific divorce, right? You
get I keep hoping.
You get to keep the boat that you have and you
right.
love.
Right.
That could be a great plan B.
It could.
To live on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
I just sat there. I'm like, oh, that guy looks lonely, but he's got a 60-inch television on his boat, and it's just him and the boat in the water.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people dig it just because it's a level of freedom that you have. And some people, there are a million of reasons why people would.
It's like a motorhome in the sea.
It is. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have you ever thought of commuting by water to work?
I know people up here that that commuted by water for their entire careers. That would take the boat from the harbor over here over to across the bay to a place that they worked that was also on the water.
I tend to forget how close Leesburg is to the Potomac. Yeah. I probably, if I owned a boat, could make it here faster than I do by car.
That's what I was thinking.
You'd the rocks might get you, Rob.
No, not me, because I'm going to stay in the channel.
You see, once again, you. Jesus. Oh you're aware of the Potomac River, correct?
Oh yes, I've been around it all my life.
You're aware of the fact that it's not like necessarily a completely smooth sail.
One of the things, Mike, is
to get from Leesburg to Washington D.C.
There's this one stretch that I like to call. I don't think I haven't researched this. There's this one dicey stretch called Great Falls, and what I'd have to do is that's where you really have to focus and probably use your Lowrance and everything because you don't want to, you know, kill yourself. But once you get to close to where the bridges are in the city, smooth sailing, very easy.
Hey, we do have to break here. We'll finish this story when we come back. And, well, let's be honest, I need an idiot break.
Okay, thank you. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Finding my white voice. Well, you know, it was a difficult process. You know, I have a very, very, you know, street urban accent.
If you could put a Brooks Brothers jacket and a pair of Dockers on a voice, well, that's what we got.
How much white is too white for this voice? I would say if you're pronouncing the letter H in the word white, you've gone too white.
A lot of people were adamant that I not do this.
They were anxious for me to fail.
The guy from The Hollywood Reporter.
Sean Hannity.
Guy from The Telegraph.
Bokeem Woodbine.
Your young daughter who was just born.
Every shift manager at every Bennigan's I've ever either eaten in or worked in. This was definitely one of the harder things I've done. This, and then also when I played the lead role in Veronica Mars.
Practicing repeatedly every day, I would set the alarm 6:15, and I would do a classic, we're going to be late for soccer.
We're going to be late for soccer. We're going to be late for soccer. Yeah, that's kind of, there, I got it.
Patton Oswalt did the, we're going to be late for...
He stole that bit from you.
It's a 3-hour time difference. I'm in New York, he's in L.A. He's probably still masturbating.
A lot of people talk about a cultural appropriation. I had to culturally disappropriate.
They've already given me a number of awards that aren't necessarily associated with this kind of thing. I've gotten a Peabody, a Booker Award, Caldecott, you know, which is an award for illustrating children's books.
Come time for the White Voice Oscars, I think a lot of people are going to be eating some crow.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
From the nation's capital. Love saying that. From our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., in the Podcast Village Studios, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide radio show and podcast with a loyal following of listeners who get it. And if you're listening right now, you do too. Always ready to hear from you. Our weekly mailbag, our wide open Wednesday. We love our interactive experience, and we love our audience participation. So please let us hear from you. Even on the weekend. We love
absolutely on the weekend.
all over the world. The Michael O'Mara Show on now, brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. If you have a refi on your mind, listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. Rates continue to rise, people. And the Fed has announced 5 more rate hikes in the next 2 years. You have to lock in now while rates are still super low, and you can get cash out for any reason. Debt consolidation, home improvement, a new camper, a side of beef, a solid chocolate credenza, or a divorce buyout.
What?
Cornerstone First Financial, a direct lender with their own money and the ability to meet any competitor's estimate. You see, Cornerstone has a certain amount that they have to clear off their warehouse line each month. And they do it by offering the absolute lowest rates, whether it's a purchase, refi, or date, debt consolidation. And they do it for you because they care. And if you're going in to buy a house, it's very, very cool to get pre-approved for a certain amount of money, because it gives you more power when you're looking at that particular residence. I promise you, Cornerstone First Financial will give you sound advice. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. Personal attention from application to closing. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial. So the question about this boating trip that you took.
Boat.
The man that hopped on the vessel, the birthday boy or man, the birthday man. Nice guy? A good guy?
Super nice guy.
All right.
Super
nice guy. Worth the wait then, right?
Yeah, and he was apologetic, and it wasn't like he wasn't aware that he was late. I just thought it was funny that Todd was mad at the gentleman. And
because
the captain,
Todd, the guy who has enough time to take off work at any time, didn't want to be inconvenienced.
Yeah. Hump Todd.
Todd Hump.
Very good. Yes, sir.
We actually at one point said, hey, man, lighten up. We're on a boat.
You know what I would have done? I would have pulled out my iPhone. Did they have the ability on the boat to like plug into a sound system?
Yes.
Because it would be great if you played it. I just put in while he's, you know, complaining that the guy's lazy. And I'm getting pretty sick of guys named Todd.
This is something that was referenced on the boat. This is something I think we all know about, all of us. There are times where we can be prickly, right?
Sure.
Yes.
But I also, in
as
my Louis eyes...
As Louis Anderson would say, a prickly pear.
He was referring to Selma Diamond.
I love that guy.
I always defer to what is the power dynamic of anything. If I'm getting on someone's boat, I defer to the captain.
You got
if
to.
If the captain's not annoyed and he's hanging out
now.
And he's good, I will do whatever I will defer to the captain if he needs help, if he needs any type of backup with any issues, if he wants me to go find the guy.
You're the kind of person I want on my boat.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're the kind of person I want to... I can give people that are on a pleasure craft, a small pleasure craft like mine, I can give them one piece of advice. There's one thing that people do get. There's one thing that people who are guests on a boat do.
Yeah.
That drives captains nuts. Everybody that runs a boat and has had guests on their boat will agree with me on this one. There's one thing everybody does on a boat that I wish people wouldn't do, and everybody does it, and it's a pain in the ass.
What is it?
Would you like to guess what it is?
Oh, man.
I would say it has to do with being in the way. Right?
Technically, that would be accurate.
Okay, then let me go more specific, see if I can get full credit for this.
All right, very good.
They move around as opposed to choosing a spot and staying there.
They stand up when you're coming into the dock.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Everyone will be seated on a boat. Everybody will be chill when you are bringing a boat into a dock, which is the key time when you have to kind of see what you're doing.
Brunch time.
Everybody stands up. Everybody wants to get off the boat. It's as routine. I've been watching it for years and years and years, and it's a pain in the ass. I always have to tell people, please sit down. We're not done yet, please. And that's what people do. And everybody does it. Mm-hmm. Everybody does it except people that, you know that you don't want to do it.
Yeah,
and,
stay out of the way.
Did he go fast on his jet ski boat? It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And also, I thought you were going to say that people jump on the boat without proper shoes on. Like, they'll just jump and step all over everything.
I don't care. You got to clean a boat up anyway. We have people's feet and all that. You know, it has to happen that
I
way,
take but. Off my flip-flops before I
you
jump
You ever see
on.
The viral video with the bald guy that's at the helm of that super fast Fountain 38, and he's got two babes in bikinis next to him, and he's got, like, three other guys. I think they're, like, three women and two guys with the captain included. So it's, like, three and three. Everybody's paired off, and you see him going 70 miles an hour. and he hits a wake and loses control, and he actually flies out of the cockpit over to the side of the boat and bangs his head. It's the most I've watched it.
Is it this
hundreds
one?
Of times.
Is it this one?
Yeah, you know what? This is a viral video.
Yeah, because they timed it to this song.
Guy looks like Kevin Schaefer the guy that's piloting the boat.
Yeah.
And they're all flying, and you got the lady that's got the, is this the one lady's got the little bikini piercing?
Turn down for what?
So great.
Yeah, you got to be careful on the water. You really you do. You have to be very, we got that proven yesterday with that horrible situation out in, was it Missouri?
Branson, wasn't it? Near Branson?
Duck boats?
Yeah.
By the way, time to retire duck boats. Just look, I'm not saying this. I know it's too soon and all that, but I think these duck boats, there have been incidents with duck boats. You know, what could possibly go wrong with World War II technology?
Yeah. And technically surplus, because, I mean, if they're in the public domain now, the government didn't want them anymore.
Yeah. I mean, a storm came up, a thunderstorm, and they, you know, they're not boats that are able to handle 31 people being on board in a thunderstorm with major waves crashing, and people lost their lives because of it. It's a tragic. It really, really, really sucks.
I was shocked the amount of wake that one little boat can create.
Oh, my memory of the Potomac River was going up with my my friend John Cantrell on his boat years and years ago. And he had a big cruiser. He had a 44-foot boat, basically a motor yacht. Mm-hmm. And he was on this. And we watched the fireworks. And then everybody, as soon as the fireworks are over, every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the world wants to go back out of the Potomac River. And it was the most dangerous water I've ever seen. Just little boats, big boats, tiny boats, everything just flying out there at the same. It looked like a scene out of Jaws. Where they're going out to get the big shark.
When they launch after the bounty has been released.
It was terrible. But when did you become aware of the whole channel marker thing? Why was that an issue? Because it was dark?
No, because Todd was driving the boat.
Jesus Christ.
He's a pretty good captain, and our captain was like, he kept yelling, I guess, red right return.
Yes. That's it. You're coming from the sea, just imagine if you're coming up the Potomac to Washington,
right?
From Alexandria, from the Potomac, you're coming from the bay. The bay is coming from the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
So you're coming from the sea. It's red right return.
Yeah.
When you're returning to port, you want to keep the channel marker on your right.
Yes.
If you go outside of that, you might be in a problematic. Conversely, the green channel marker, you don't want to go to the left of that. Mm-hmm. So you want to just go in between those two. Was Todd not adhering?
Was he able to steer the boat with a mouse?
The software engineer in Todd, and frankly, I would think the same thing, this became clear when we were going towards...
I'm sure Todd criticized the entire navigational system of the coast of the United States. That's probably what he did.
What idiot designed this rudder?
Exactly.
When you're heading towards... we were going towards Old Town. We're coming back, right? Todd was driving. And he did a great job. He actually... It's nice to have a captain that can get someone, especially when you have someone on a wakeboard.
Then you reverse it. If you're going from Washington to Old Town, you reverse what I just said, and so you're departing.
So we're coming back, and we're sitting there, and we're going directly towards Old Town, and... That's when I realized, you can't go just any willy-nilly way you want. Because
you can't
do
like a little shortcut.
It's the most direct way.
Because they're shallow water.
Yes, you have to follow the channel and the rules to get there. And I was like, is there some sort of highway here? So
you get. By the way, you do that if you don't know the water. If you've got a chart and you know you got a shallow draft in your boat, you don't necessarily have to. And you know it's not like a rock ledge.
Yeah.
And it's just marking shallow water. And you know you got enough water. You can do that.
The tides play
a part as well.
The one thing that was inconvenient is Oscar went to get a beer. And when he came back, they were in the tidal basin.
So he was teaching.
They were stuck watching the jets land at National Airport.
He was teaching.
This is very Washington, D.C. Right,
but if you Google it's very funny.
Exactly.
He was reminding Todd about those rules, and I asked, because I'm curious, like, what's the story with these buoys?
Right.
And he said, look, you just want to run your craft aground. That's all you don't want to do.
It.
Simple. And I've run aground. I ran aground a lot down in Florida because there's very little water in the area that I was boating in. And I remember I told the story about having to get pulled off the sandbar with a jet ski. And this guy that looked like Spring Break, he came up on a jet ski and said, I can help you. I said, right, you're going to help me. Tied him to the jet ski. I tied my boat, and like within 5 seconds, he pulled me off. Yeah. It was amazing. You know? And I gave him $20 and didn't say what I wanted to say to him. Why don't you use that towards a down payment on a dentist?
It's getquip.com.
Do you miss your boating days in Florida?
No, I don't because the lack of water in the body of water I required to get to my boat was really amazing. I mean, it was based on tides. I couldn't believe how little water there was.
And if you don't time it right with the tides, you're really screwed. You're really screwed.
Boats up this thing called the Imperial River. It's the one that flooded when Irma came through. But I love boating. I love being on the water up here. I'll be on the boat today. That's what I like to do. It's great. It's great up here. Now, up on the coast of Maine, your channel markers and your buoys are quite significant, because in the event that you make a mistake up here, you're not talking about running aground like in the Potomac River with some mud or some sand. You're talking about running into granite ledges, perform a lovely little circumcision on a boat if you happen to put them in the wrong area.
I have to
area.
Imagine it's like the rocks that you walk on. It's Skudik, right? I mean, it's just sharp.
It's like granite ledges.
Oh my God, it would tear you
cut
apart
by the glaciers. You know, that's what this is. This is rock that you're doing.
Yes.
And the memory I have is my dad, who was very daring with his little 17-foot boat, would take the boat out. And I remember I was tasked with being up at the bow of the boat, because we were coming into an island where we were going to go on the island with a dinghy and have a little lunch on the island, have a little picnic lunch on the island. They did it all the time up here. And I remember my dad coming in, and all of a sudden it's like, okay. So, Dad, I can see bottom! And then, you know, him reversing the boat and stuff like that. And you'll come in and you'll be looking at rock. Yep. You're going to be looking straight down at rock. And so it's very cool. But being aware of your, anytime you're on any body of water, especially with five or six people all kind of going, you know, why was Todd driving the boat?
Well, Todd was driving the boat because the captain was wakeboarding, and Todd knows how to drive that boat, right?
Oh, okay. I see.
All right. So this wasn't at night.
No. At night, he wasn't allowed anywhere near the...
But all in all, Mike, it was a wonderful day on the Jack Tar.
It was fun.
From the deck of the Jack Tar.
We pulled up to Old Town, went, got something to eat.
It's so cool to do that, isn't it? Yeah.
Had a zillion drinks there. The captain was drinking water, and he had some iced tea, and I was like, that's when I know you can't enjoy your own boat. That's what always people say. Like, you have to be the responsible one.
I like it now because I do short little jaunts, and I'm fine. But when I used to do the whole deal where it was a day, where we'd go out for the day.
Oh, it's tough.
You're responsible for lives. And when people, you hear about it all the time during the summer when people don't, you know, just chuck it. Yeah. You're gonna kill somebody if you're out there. It happens, you know. By the way, I recommend a holiday weekend if you're coming to D.C. and you'd really like to learn about responsible boating and jet skiing.
Yes.
I recommend coming to D.C. and visiting Lake Anna. On a holiday weekend, on a holiday Saturday, visit Lake Anna.
Yeah.
You know, come to D.C. and take your own lives into your hands.
I've been there. It's a lot like a visit to Monte Carlo.
That's some of the most dangerous boating in the world. Jet skis. But overall, you had a good time.
A great time.
Did we leave anything out?
Got home. I high-fived my wife, and I said, what a great night. Time for bed. Please don't let me miss the show tomorrow.
You seem fine. You look good. You had a good time.
It was good.
Recharge the batteries. Well, I had a birthday party for my little guy here. Yeah. And I mean, it should be all about him, but of course it never is. Yeah. So I left the party feeling good about myself as usual.
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Because people care. Yeah. I'll tell you how I was insulted when we come back on the Michael Mara Show.
This is Grace the intern. Recently, I've become an aunt, and to be honest, babies are a bit difficult, but I've learned something while rocking a crying baby back and forth. I've found that all babies are instantly soothed by listening to The Mike O'Mara Show. Plus, studies show that The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show will raise their IQ more than listening to Mozart. And don't worry about the swearing, babies are too young to talk anyhow. So if you want a happy, intelligent infant unlike any other, subscribe to the Bonus Show package and listen as your baby coos with delight at the show's hilarious extra content. Who wouldn't want their baby growing up with such educational audio? Just click the Bonus Show banner at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Do you work in marketing? Do you believe in the work you do? Why?
Why?
Yoko CO is a digital marketing agency, and they ask themselves those same questions, which is why they only work with organizations who have a purpose beyond profit. That's not to say profit isn't important, because it absolutely is, but that doesn't have to be the end of the story. At Yoko CO, they understand that, so if you believe in the work of your organization, and if you show up each day for more than just a paycheck, you should give Yoko CO a look. They offer a range of digital marketing services, including website design, search engine optimization, social media, and email marketing. If you think you're not getting the most out of your website, Yoko CO can help. Learn more at yokoco.com/TMOS. That's yokoco.com/TMOS. Do it now. Yes, to our listeners, to my coworkers, to everybody who sent out a greeting to my little man, let me just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Aww. It was a wonderful birthday. It was an embarrassment of riches. Too many presents for him. There's happy nothing I can birthday. Do about that. But boy, oh boy, did he have a day. Right from the beginning, Mrs. O'Mara decorated the downstairs, and when he woke up at 6:30 in the morning yesterday, he was literally bouncing up and down. He was so excited.
That, you know, it's when you said that you guys, old, when you perfect. Guys, that no one ever did that for me.
Oh,
to wake up to a decorated house for your birthday, how great is that?
It was so much special. Fun for him.
Yeah.
He was wonderful. We've got the next door neighbor girl, Maddie, who is just this adorable child who he plays with. He had his friend Jake come over, and then we had my family and friends come over as well.
Why the phrasing?
Yeah,
the drop right. off.
Only two slights that I'm really aware of. Only two slights, but they were. They were significant.
I don't want to play devil's advocate, but oftentimes slights are not meant to be heard. So if there was two that you heard, there might have been others under the water.
A comment made to me. Regarding the one of the friends that came there listened to the show for the first time.
Hey,
and I shouldn't listen. I should not be. This technically is a compliment. I should not be offended by this. But this is what, someone, I guess my sister passed along to someone to listen to the show. And this person was in my house said, I got a chance to hear. I heard that show. I heard that show of yours. And the comment was very professional. And I wanted to say, blow it out your ass.
Oh, dear.
But I didn't say that because that's not what I do. I just eat it and I move along. And then the other thing was a certain family member who looked at me yesterday and said, do you still have that restaurant? And you realize that you're not significant.
You're not, you're not on the radar.
That's the thing, isn't it? Isn't that what it's all about? I'm not relevant to anyone up here.
Yeah.
That's okay. Now I know. Now I move on with my life, and I forge.
Understanding it is half the battle, though. Yeah, you just have to embrace it.
I forge my new relationships, and that's fine. It's all about the little guy anyway. Mm-hmm. And we're going under the philosophy. Our next door neighbor bought him a howitzer.
That's good.
I believe the comment that somebody does that thing have a bump stock? It was. Look, everybody knows that's listened to this show. You know how I feel about guns.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I am completely understanding of the parents that say we're not going to give the child toy guns. I'm yielding to Mrs. O'Mara's wishes, which she says if you make a big deal about it, it becomes something that they're going to get obsessed about. So best at 5 years old, when he probably won't even remember it, let him have it.
He'd end up with a stick anyway, pretending. All kids do.
Kids, they all want to point guns at them. They do.
Sure. Absolutely.
But I'm conflicted.
I understand.
But I don't because you can be conflicted and just eat it, or you can be conflicted and be an a-hole about it. I chose not to be an a-hole about it, but I will tell you, this thing that they got, which is his favorite gift,
of course,
he slept with it last night from the next door neighbor, is
okay,
a
that's
Nerf.
That's a little weird.
It is a Nerf gun.
Carla, can you bring up the Nerf gun if you're here?
I don't know if she's here or not. This
check
thing,
her tracking device.
This thing.
I never know what she's doing back there.
She's got the chip that I installed behind her ear.
Yeah, I remember.
So I know where she is at all times. but this thing, not only is it huge, not only does it have little like magazines that you put in it with Nerf darts.
Mm. They're about this long, right? Like yellow guys?
It's battery operated.
Oh, so it's an automatic.
It's an automatic weapon with Nerf.
That's awesome.
That's actually pretty cool. Takes,
there you go. And a lot of people would say that's awesome.
Well, because when we were kids, you had to pump them up if you were lucky.
Hey, you know, that would be great on the boat.
Would be.
That would be.
Shooting a Todd.
Oh, yeah.
Stay between the markers. Dut, dut, dut. Right.
So he's playing with that. I've got my family. Carla put this amazing spread out.
How was the purple cake?
The purple cake was fantastic.
Nice.
Hannaford put out the purple cake. I'll tell you about the grocery store later.
Okay.
If I get time. But it was fine. And, you know, I just need to not dwell on it. But here's the thing. When stuff like that is said to me, like, oh, heard the show? Very professional. I'm 59 years old. Yeah, very good little boy.
You've been at this a while.
I can't believe you're talented. I thought you were picking your nose and eating your own feces and doing a show from the garage.
Right.
What a very, very professional
you
show
this
you
in
have.
Your basement?
You know, it just, that's.
There's
that's
a studio where? The nation's capital?
Yeah. But I resist the urge to dwell on it because it's my son's party. I don't want to. And when I got the question, do you still have that restaurant? I said, no, I don't. And I graduated high school in 1977, if you were curious about that. Jesus Christ.
Now, when those two bombs are dropped, right?
Right.
Yeah, and they weren't bombs because it was in passing. Neither comment was really malicious. There was no malice.
It was perfect small talk, just hurtful small talk.
I got a friend of a family member who grilled me on what I do, which is fine too. None of us can expect that we are going to have people occupy their time with what we do.
Right.
Those are people who choose to do that. The people that support our show are wonderful.
Those are
and they love it. And if the people up here would get into the habit, they'd love it too. Anyone that gets the habit of listening to this show, I stand by the product. It's an entertaining product. It's fun. We have a good time. It's psychotherapy for me, and people will love it. I can't force people to do it that are in the family and friend circle. I cannot do that at all.
You weren't blaring the podcast when they arrived?
No, not at all. I was trying to get the Sonos speakers to work outside, but I couldn't do that. I was waiting for that green thing, thing to flash, I screwed it up.
On the Bluetooth thing?
It probably is a Wi-Fi signal at that point.
I see, yeah.
But I think on the fly, Sonos doesn't make it easy for you to augment what you've set up.
You can't leave your Sonos speakers in the closet, whip them out 15 minutes from a party. And by the way, when my sister arrived and then everybody starts to arrive, I'm sitting there with my two fingers on this button just going, what is going on? So I didn't work it. And then I've got the electric that's not working on one side of the porch, and that wasn't working. I went down, crawled down to the basement. Yeah. By the way, I have this tendency, if they're 5 minutes before everybody's going to arrive, I'll take up a project that'll break me into a sweat.
It's the way you deal with stress, because you're nervous that everyone's coming. You need something to occupy your time.
No,
I'm the same way. Carrie's the worst at it.
Are we up on another break?
Oh, yeah. We were about 10 minutes ago.
So I'm sorry about that. We have to take another break. We'll come back with more Happy Friday Show. The Happy Friday Show. He's five. We'll do it again next year. Woo! Birthday season is officially over.
Oh, it was a great birthday season. Take the tree down.
It was great. We can do that now. Absolutely. Take the lights off the house. We'll be right back, everybody.
Inform. Intelligence. Irreverence. Political Persuasions.
Hey, it's Chris Frantz with Political Persuasions. This week, Mike and I talk about the Helsinki incident. President Trump creating a moral equivalency between American intelligence and Putin's denials. Have we finally hit rock bottom? Is the president a traitor? Tune in, find out.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, huge stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. Boo!
Boo!
Boo.
But today, hiring can be easy. You only need one place to get it done, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Listeners to this program have enjoyed ZipRecruiter. It's effective. They get great hires out of it. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. ZipRecruiter also uses powerful matching technology to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job.
Yes.
Then ZipRecruiter analyzes each application and spotlights the top candidates. They do everything.
They do.
You never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Astonishing. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Just remember it one more time, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. We got a short break here.
Yes.
I just have to tell you, he loved his cake.
Oh, good.
It was wonderful, and he enjoyed it, and the party was a overwhelming success. Mrs. O'Mara put out a great spread. Everybody enjoyed the food.
Any leftover lobster?
A little bit of leftover lobby, because she put out the Zach lobster, and everybody was able to make their own stuff. It was really, really terrific, and I was very proud of what she did, and the purple cake that he wanted was delicious, too. Purple.
Why
that's
purple?
Fun when you've got a bunch of grown-ups, a bunch of people in their 60s that are eating you know, purple cake, and it was like, bap, beep, bap.
I'm guessing the teeth and tongue probably took to the purple very nice.
I found this out.
What's that?
I found out if you spray it, they do a spray sugar thing onto with the food coloring. If you spray it on, it's not going to permeate, and it's not going to make your tongue last as long as if you were
to less coloring.
Incorporate it's the color into outside. The frosting.
How do they spray it?
They spray it. It's a chemical.
Yeah, I keep some in
it's
the car.
It's a carcinogen.
It's tasty.
That's pretty cool.
I found, looking back, I think birthdays 4, 5, and 6 for the parents are probably the best birthdays, because they're so appreciative and excited, and everything is so new to them.
Yes.
They're not jaded at all.
The celebration.
It's fantastic.
I can remember Robert's 4th birthday. One of the things he asked my dad for was a jar of peanuts, because he was really into eating like dry roasted peanuts. My dad got him like a Costco size, huge jar of peanuts and wrapped it in a box. And so Robert unwraps it, opens the box, and pulls out the peanuts and got so excited, he hugged it.
That's the thing, the excitement.
That's awesome.
Five years old is the perfect moment for the excitement of the gift. I didn't mention that yesterday, in between doing the shows that we taped yesterday and the party,
right.
I did a 2.5-hour Lego session with a 400-piece Lego set fire rescue boat that I did with him. And he is just so elevated with his level at Legos that he's lapping me on putting this together. I mean, I think there were a couple of times during the process that, do you want me to be here? Do you want me to be here to help you with this? Do you want me to participate in this? Because I put this little thing. That's the green light that goes on the right side of the pilot house. I mean, if you want me to be here, I can be here or not. But he's got it. It's a beautiful, beautiful fire.
When you finished your part.
That was Daddy's present for him.
When you finished your part of the boat, did he tell you that it looked very professional?
I said, when did you sell your restaurant? Anyway,
Dad? That's it.
But I don't know. I don't want to go back to the grocery store again, because I tolerate old people in Florida, because that's the thing. Up here, you forget there are old people all over here, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've looked around. I don't know what it's like down in D.C. You got some young people down there, but it just seems like where I am in Maine in the summer and Florida in the winter, snowbird land, both places. Everybody's 1,000 years old. Everybody. And when you go into a grocery store, you know, they talk about, here's the myth of millennials and young people being rude. No. The rudest people in the world are the elderly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're right.
But it's the truth. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Pony. Thank you. Here. It is true. The rudest people. Do you remember the cemetery giant food that I used to go to in Rockville?
Yeah, on Classic Rockville Pike, wasn't it?
Where you'd sit there and you'd be in back of a person that was older than Middle Earth.
Yes.
And was standing in the line at the express change and took out a change purse.
Yep.
Yes.
That type of thing.
Typical move.
You get that.
Yeah.
Right. You get that. And then you get the people that will stand, men especially, old men who will plant themselves next to you, and your personal space is not. And for the love of God, don't go near the ears of corn. Don't go near the ears of corn. Because if you're having corn on the cob for dinner, fresh corn on the cob, which, by the way, Rob pointed out to me before the show, old people love corn.
You know what? It put most of my family through college, old people loving corn. It was like plucking quarters from the ground. Every time we pulled an ear of corn, there's another quarter.
Corn on the cob. Blah, 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 blah. Standing next to me, and I you have to be polite.
I hate
being polite sometimes. I want to turn around and go, if you take one more step towards me, if you take one step closer to me when I'm looking at my corn for my dinner, you're going to have to wait. I know it's driving you insane, because you might be, you know, having to go out to Denny's for the blue plate special, you prick. It was just, it was, you know, I told Carla,
out of the way and let me get at that sweet corn. You going to buy some of that sweet corn?
How long are you going to take? So I respectfully said to my bride,
yes,
I said, if you don't mind, I would like to go out and wait in the car.
Oh,
and
she allowed me to leave the store.
I left the store. It was too much.
My God.
There aren't excuse me's anymore. There isn't everybody is into their own trip, and I cannot do it. And look, you know what? I'm not blessed with the ability to ignore others.
Yeah.
I'm not blessed with being oblivious. So many people are. And I'm not trying to be insulting here, but I think maybe women shoppers that do grocery shopping all the time are better at it because they're able to compartmentalize it and they're able to move on and not pay attention. I just can't. I think everybody's got, you know, breathing at me. And I swear to God, when I was standing at the pile of that rancid corn on the cob that I was trying to pick through and find a decent ear or two, I swear to God, I think I heard the guy go, jeez. And I'm like, I can't move any faster. Can't move any faster. Okay, Mitch McConnell? I can't do it.
And also, now they've got it at the grocery store where they leave like a trash barrel near the corn so you can pull off as much of the shuck as you want,
which is the right bad move.
No, you do that in your home. Don't do that at the store.
You do it at the store. I'm not going to take an ear of corn home that looks like it has flesh-eating bacteria on top of it.
Well, you see, you're buying corn at the wrong place then.
Well, I'm sorry, we all can't go to the ye olde spiewak stand.
Well, no one can anymore, Mike. It's been shuttered.
There aren't any roads.
What about that corn?
You have no road stands up there? I would think they'd be great up there. You got your blueberry place.
We had strawberries and blueberries. That's what they had.
Well, you can't eat those off a cob.
And on Monday, I'll tell you the story because I don't have time right now about the panhandler outside of the strip mall that did something that I would not recommend. If you are out there with a sign and you're asking people to give you money out of their car, this is not the best thing.
Rube, question.
That's another story. Right. Yes.
Why buy corn that was just been shucked if you can just get the kind that's been wrapped in Saran wrap?
Because if it's still in its wrapper, it will be more moist, less moisture goes away from it.
Is it really that big a difference?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
It is.
Especially 10 years ago. They've somehow genetically modified the seed now. But 10 years ago, when you bought corn, if it was more than 24 hours from pulling, so much of the sugar has turned to starch, the flavor changes within one day, even under refrigeration. Okay. Thank you.
How about that? He knows. He worked in a grocery store.
I mean,
he knows.
And we grew it. I mean, that's what we did.
I don't do the grocery shopping. So that's probably why I don't remember if there's
corn. You don't look like a big corn enthusiast.
If it's there, I'll eat it. Otherwise,
you know what? When I got it home after that trip to the store, we had some. And I took a bite of it. I said, tastes like the dead skin of old people. That's exactly what it was. So, delish. I'm sorry. I'm an old person. Okay, I'm part of that. Yeah. I'm part of that too. So, you know, you want to hear why I make fat jokes? I make fat jokes because I am one. I make old jokes because I am one. I can do it right now. Stop invading my space. That's all. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with Oscar's take.
Yeah, Oscar's take.
Yes.
Let's get to know our friend at KCJJ, Steve Bridges.
Yay!
Did you know that Steve has been on the air since 1965? That's nearly 100 years. He is a member of the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He got the nickname Captain Steve when he served at Pearl Harbor. Steve invented the phrase, the 10th caller wins. He wears glasses not for vision, but only to make himself look smarter. Steve played Mickey in the popular 1950s show Circus Boy. His cartoon-styled voice inspired the character of Joe Rocket. And he owns and operates the Mighty 1630 KCJJ, the terrestrial flagship broadcast home of the Mike O'Mara Show since 2009, which happens to be the best show on KCJJ. Thank you, Steve, and thank you, KCJJ. You are the best.
1630 KCJJ.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody, brought to you by Amazon. Everyone knows that Amazon is the best. You're probably shopping there right now. If you need it, Amazon has it. Just make sure you access Amazon through the Mike O'Mara Show website. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day?
Are you excited like me, Mike? Are you excited to see the movie Bohemian Rhapsody about Freddie Mercury
absolutely.
And Queen?
Yeah.
I was looking around because I don't have any Queen vinyl. I have their greatest hits and stuff on CD. And I was like, I found an amazing box set on Amazon. Treat yourself, folks. This is the complete studio collection of every album Queen ever put out on colored vinyl. All 15 studio albums cut at half speed at Abbey Road, 180 gram vinyl, and it comes with a 108 page hardback book, $360, which is not bad for a box set of this magnitude. But think, one Amazon purchase, you own everything Queen ever recorded, sounding better than ever.
Well,
it's Queen.
Amazon really does have everything. You find that and more at MikeOMaraShow.com. Remember, the only way you can ensure that we get credit for your purchase is to access Amazon through our website. Costs you nothing, means the world to us, so thank you. Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for... Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
A review and comment of the news, as only our Bolivian Bloviator can do it. The views expressed by Oscar Santana do not in any way reflect the views of our listening audience, the hosts that he works with, or the right-thinking people of the United States of America. Now, without further ado, I give you Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
Oscar.
Yes, sir.
If you have friends, then you have at least one who's in a relationship with someone terrible.
What?
Which brings up a very important scenario. Should you say something? What will you do? What will you do? According to a new survey, men and women have different answers to that question. 43% of men say they would tell their friend they're making a mistake versus 35% of men who wouldn't. But women went the other direction. 39% wouldn't say anything versus 38% who try to intervene. The survey also found there's a big difference by generation. 59% of people under 24 would say something, but only 27% of people over 65 would try to talk one of their friends out of a bad relationship. Here I am being ageist again, yes, where I say the people over 65 don't give a rat's ass. They're too busy picking out their corn.
More corn.
That's it. What's your take, Oscar?
I'm going to speak from the male perspective.
You often do.
Thank you. It depends on how hot she is. And if she's attractive enough to deal with all the nonsense.
Yes.
If she's got wonderful cans and an ass that won't quit, you really, really, there's a no-win situation. Because what most people don't understand is when you're in love, you become the enemy to that there equation. You become the enemy to that equation when you say, hey, you have a terrible girlfriend. She may be a 12, but she's terrible. Then he, because he's in love and he's with a 12, he's going to go to her and be like, you know, Oscar really hates you. Then you become the enemy, and then you lose a friend and you lose the eye candy.
That's
you
true.
Lose the perspective of seeing that.
We're off and running on Oscar's take, ladies and gentlemen. Oscar's take. Oscar, a new survey found the top 10 things that instantly put us in a better mood. Here they are. Number 10, seeing a friend you haven't seen in a long time. Number 9, getting a long hug. Number 8, taking a long hot shower. Number 7, realizing it's a sunny day. Number 6, doing a nice small thing for someone else. Number 5, petting a dog. Number 4, someone doing a nice small thing for you. Number 3, lying in bed, listening to the rain. Number 2, being able to sleep in with no alarm. And number 1, finding money in your pocket you didn't know you had. That's the top 10 things that put us in a better mood. There are a lot of things to digest on there.
Absolutely.
I just threw them out to get your take
this
on.
This list is a fraud. Number 1 is clearly being off.
Thank you. You're listening to Oscar's Take,
Oscar's
ladies and gentlemen.
Take.
Oscar, you're going to like this. You reference it often, especially with your new do. We had Jax Teller. Now we have the Mayans' main man. The first official trailer for FX's Sons of Anarchy spinoff, Mayans MC, I'm excited about. It's all about their new leading man in the two-minute video released Thursday during the start of the San Diego Comic-Con 2018. First full look at the latest chapter in the biker saga. His name, his character's name, Ezekiel Easy Reyes. He's played by J.D. Pardo. He's fresh out of prison and a prospect in the Mayans Motorcycle Club charter.
Who plays him?
The guy's name, I think it's J.D. Pardo.
And he used to announce Saturday Night Live.
It's Mayans MC. There we are.
Azeem Pedran.
Jax Teller, no longer in there. It's the Mayans. We apologize for our technical difficulties. The Mayans MC charter on the California-Mexico border. Now, Easy must carve out his new identity in a town where he was once the golden boy with the American dream in his grasp. So they've got a new Sons of Anarchy. It's the Mayans MC, and you could be a cast member.
Yeah, you could.
Right, if Rob can get on Crashing, why can't I get on Mayans MC?
That's true.
I could be a pledge. You can kill me off in the first 30 seconds of
the entire
episode.
Hollywood bar has been lowered.
Right? We can do what we want.
Let's get on board.
Right.
I am excited for this, Mike, and I hope you get into it as well. I felt like when Sons of Anarchy was wrapping up, there was going to be another story arc, and we knew that it was going to be one of these other motorcycle gangs. It's going to be interesting to see how they deal with their origin story and how the Mayans MC play to, quite frankly, the other motorcycle clubs, right? Because when you see Breaking Bad, for example, Breaking Bad is at Comic-Con. We talked about this yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Conan's doing this big live broadcast from Comic-Con.
It's the San Diego. It's the biggest one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're talking about all these spinoffs. Aaron Paul wants an origin story for his character in Breaking Bad, right? Yeah. Now, he probably wants one because he wants to work.
But did you also hear, I'm sorry to jump in on Oscar's take. Did you know that they're going to, on the next season of Better Call Saul, they're going to have actual overlapping Breaking Bad storylines where they're going to have them on that?
That's what I'm getting to, where you actually get to see everything come together again. That's what's fun about these shows, right?
Mm-hmm. Almost like the Pulp Fiction thing.
And Kurt Sutter's still involved with it. So, I mean, if they have the good writing and the good producing, then it's probably going to be a good product. And it's motorcycle gang stuff.
Right.
I mean, come on.
You can't miss.
You got to write it well. 100%
sign off by Oscar Santana.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, just remember, a note from me to the Mayans, no whisper talking. Thank you. You're listening to Oscar's Take. Oscar, 80 new food items debuted at the Wisconsin State Fair.
Hey, oh! 80 new foods for you.
Oh, the parking,
I only have two that I want to mention here. Ants on a log with real ants.
Yeah.
What is the ants on a log confection?
Ants on a log is, I believe, cream cheese on celery with raisins.
Peanut butter.
That's what it is.
Or could be peanut butter as well.
With raisins.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't give any more details on that one, but I assume maybe it's cream cheese with real ants on it.
Or peanut butter. I've like heard that. Both, yeah.
Protein.
Okay. If big bugs aren't your thing, deep fried turducken on a stick is on the menu, and that's the one getting all the play at the Wisconsin State Fair. That's turkey, duck confit, and fried chicken breast layered with homemade stuffing and gravy. It's battered and drizzled with Wisconsin cranberry sauce.
Oh my God.
Thanksgiving on a bite at the Wisconsin State Fair.
Bugs on food still gross me out.
Yeah, I agree.
Fried or if you want to group any sort of bug, especially grasshoppers, which apparently the world's protein. You can buy a grasshopper bar now at CVS if you'd like.
Oh, I've seen it. It has it says cricket flour on
it. Yes, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So they're crickets. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be one of the best sources of protein out there. I'm not buying into it. You know what? Because I live in America. Los Estados Unidos. I get to make choices here, right?
Yeah.
I work hard. I pay taxes. I don't need to eat bugs.
I agree. Would you eat the turducken on a stick?
Oh, yeah, of course. That sounds like fun. Yeah, How about note to Wisconsin, pay your teachers more. Enough of this nonsense.
Yes, thank you very much. A little political commentary.
Wow, look at him.
Oscar's take, ladies
Oscar's
and gentlemen.
Oscar's take.
Opinions. Finally, Oscar, if you want to increase your fertility, have a beard. Didn't we have this story on your audio vault?
Yeah, we did, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. A recent study published by researchers at the Policlinico.
Okay.
There you go. I got it right. Come to rehearsal, Mike.
Get the paddles.
At the Policlinico Hospital's fertility clinic in Milan, Italy.
You're like Dean Martin. You don't come to rehearsal.
Policlinico.
Man, boy.
That's in Milan, Italy, or Milan. Found that people who drink the equivalent of one beer per day produce more sperm. 323 male patients with a varying weekly alcohol intake were tested. 30% reported having 1 to 3 drinks per week. Where's the fun in that? 30% reported having 4 to 7% per week, and 30% reported having 8 or more drinks per week.
Thank you.
That was loud. Sorry about that. Men in the two groups with higher alcohol intakes had significantly higher sperm concentration than those who had 1 to 3 weekly drinks. Additionally, men who had 4 to 7 weekly drinks also had significantly higher median semen volume, i.e. larger, you know, so you drink more, you have better swimmers.
Okay. I think it depends on the person. I had a conversation, I would say, last week with someone that's they asked me if we're gonna have children soon, right?
Right. Was this person they were talking with Shannon?
No. And I said, it all depends. I'm pretty busy these days. I know that everyone says you're never ready or the time isn't perfect to have children.
Yeah, you're never ready. Right. You never know. It never comes at the perfect time.
And I said, well, I was like, you also have to pay your taxes more than once a month to try to figure that out, right?
Probably a good idea, yes.
And to have a baby, right? And they're like, pay your taxes. And the gentleman, we were not friends. It was a colleague. I'm like, yeah, you know, like, have sex with your wife. And he says to me, He goes, you refer to as pay your taxes? I'm like, yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Like, we've all been there enough times. You gotta pay your taxes eventually. Right. He's like, man, I'm so lucky that, like, I feel like my wife is still into me. So we still, like, we, he was explaining to me how he does it every, like, at least twice a week.
Yeah,
right?
One of those guys. Yeah, and, one of those guys.
And I said,
yeah,
okay. Yeah. I said, all right, man, that's fine. You pay more taxes than I do, but are you having fun? He's like, yeah. I was like, you know what? We can't be friends. Like, yeah. if you were in love,
get out of my house.
If you're in love, he was even in my house. We were, like, at a meeting, and I said, we part as friends. I was like, but we can no longer hang out. You are too happy to be around my spirit.
You're too happy. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Right. And, by the way, and if you're doing it once every month or so, have her stand on her head in the corner and give her a beer.
That's right.
Anyway, we will take a break.
By the way, Carrie just hired a tax accountant. Is that bad?
His parting shot to me was like, have you looked into testosterone?
Oh, no.
What a jerk.
I know enough is enough. I'm a busy dude. Leave me alone.
All right. See you later, super horny man. We'll take a break. And Oscar and I have always bonded on our libidos. We will take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Guess who, baby?
Hey!
Nicky Diamond!
There he is.
I'm here, but you know what? I never left. Just like football, I'm always there, lurking. Free agency, the draft, OTAs, minicamp, preseason, fantasy, playoffs, Super Bowl. Nicky Diamond, just like the Mike O'Mara Show, is always here when you need it, and even when you don't. It's a sure thing! Light him up!
We'll be back on the show soon.
Very soon.
I can't wait to have Nicky back on the show. This portion of our program brought to you by the TMOS bonus packages. It's the worst time of the year.
I agree.
Your helium tank is old and empty. The balloons are at half mast. You lost your life while trying to escape the island with the embryo. Newman. And your Hewlett-Packard is printing documents on both sides. It did today, too.
Oh, no.
What will you do? What will you do? Well, greasy boot-licking Claude, how about the TMOS bonus show? The bonus show is an extra hour of TMOS comedy each and every week that is so great it can change you from a ranting Santa into the Easter funny. La, la, la. They call me Mellow Yellow. Quite right. Go to MikeOmaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. It makes a great gift. Spread some cheer, bonus show style. Get happy by giving back. You get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. It is truly a win-win. So please quit sucking, and we thank you. And open that door for the audio vault, the last one of the week. Rob Schwerwer.
We all know this tape, right?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Hey,
yes. This is not a test. This is rock and roll.
That's not the real guy, though. That's Robin Williams.
That's Robin Williams playing the real guy. But I read about the real guy who passed yesterday. I didn't realize this. He lived just outside of Roanoke, Virginia. His name was Adrian Cronauer. He was a disc jockey in Vietnam. And I had never heard tape of him. And I knew the story that he wasn't as wacky and funny as Robin Williams on the air.
That's what I always heard, too.
But his presentation is actually pretty well captured by Robin Williams, at least at that part.
It's just smidgen past 6, and here we go with another day's version of the Don Buster Show from Armed Forces Radio. I'm Airman Adrian Cronauer, and for the next 4 hours, we've got the best in popular music for you here, so let's get started right now with music.
And the thing that I found so neat about that is
definitely
they actually
mellow. We're not as crazy as Robin Williams played.
That song he went into was Nowhere to Run by Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. They use that in Good Morning Vietnam as one of the records that he plays. So
yes.
He passed away age 79. He did a lot of good work. He was a motivational speaker, an actor, a veteran, of course, and inspired that movie. So safe home, Adrian Cronauer.
Anybody watch the Robin Williams documentary this week?
I've seen parts of it. I haven't seen the whole thing through, but I hear it's very sentimental.
It's very sentimental. It's very sad, and his kid is what breaks me up. That's the
Zach?
Part that's crazy. Yeah, Zach Williams, and and a lot of stuff from Billy Crystal, who is his very public friend, and Bobcat Goldthwait, who is his real friend.
Bob Goldthwait.
I'm sorry. I have no business saying that. He was close to both of them. But Bobcat, I think, was really part of the equation. Can you guys see me?
Yeah, I've been trying to get Bobcat on the show. He's promoting a new anthology series. And I've heard him do a couple long-form interviews. He's a little shy about doing shows. He is such a sweet and intelligent man, Bobcat Goldthwait. Yeah, the absolute opposite of the way he painted himself in the day. You spent a good time. He was on the Primetime Video Zoo.
Yeah, he was on. I knew Bobcat back in the day, and he did a funny promo where he calls himself my personal friend, which he's not, but it was funny. It was just it was funny. So it's a great documentary, and I was kidding about the whole Billy Crystal part, but really,
was he rude on there?
No. Billy Crystal just. Bobcat, I think, knew every intimate detail of Robin Williams and his health crisis that he faced at the end of his life. And, you know, Billy Crystal, I think they had more of a kind of a radio relationship.
A showbiz relationship.
It was kind of shticky and not really deep. In a lot of showbiz relationships, you can be really close to somebody, be kind of their friend, but it was always on that performance level.
Yes.
Whereas Bobcat, I think, was intimately close to Robin and
real
knew
friends.
About all his real stuff that he dealt with.
And if you doubt that they were close, Robin Williams, remember, actually had a small role in Shakes the Clown, a small uncredited role. So they really were buddies. Speaking of them, because you said Robin Williams and you said Billy Crystal, the third member of the trio that hosted Comic Relief was Whoopi Goldberg. She had a moment on The View yesterday. Have you seen this?
Oh, boy.
They had Judge Jeanine Pirro. Is that how you say her name?
Yes.
She was on, and Whoopi does not suffer fools.
Did you just point at me?
Yes.
Listen, clearly you don't watch the show, so you don't know that I don't suffer from that. What I suffer from is the inability to figure out how to fix this. That's my issue. But one of the things that you talk about a lot, and I'm curious about it, is the deep state. How long has the deep state been there, and who's running it?
Well, I want to answer your question because
you had your
opening statement, which was how horrible it is that Donald Trump is talking about all of these people.
I'm sorry,
you know
baby, that's what you
horrible?
Said. You said,
Whoopi, you know
you
what's
said
horrible?
That
when
it was,
people
it's
shouldn't
okay.
be here end it's, up murdering the children of American citizens.
You know what's horrible?
What's
when,
horrible
when the president of the United States whips up
cities.
People to beat the hell out of people?
No.
Say goodbye.
Let me bye.
Say goodbye, Jeanine. She kicked her off the show.
And Liberals is out now.
Welcome back.
This is
so
afterwards.
You saw me do something I very rarely do. I very rarely lose my cool, and I'm not proud of it. I don't like it. But I also don't like being accused of being hysterical, because that's one of the things I try not to be on this show.
Live television is a very, very small amount of TV programming now, and every now and then that electricity is still there. That's why The View is a good view sometimes. I like that.
Yeah, and I guess Jeanine Pirro called up Sean Hannity, who explained her side of the story after that.
Really? He took her call?
Because that's where you go in America when you've got that, when you want that unvarnished, objective
opinion.
Didn't
say no, I said go.
Yeah.
Go.
All right.
I say I wouldn't like you to come back. I said I would like you to come back.
On ESPN, there's a guy named John Butchergross, and he had a great ad lib yesterday after covering a soundbite from golfer Jordan Spieth. He was playing the Open in Scotland. So first we're going to hear from Jordan and then John.
But the problem was on the second shot, and I just had a brain fart, and I missed it.
Somebody step on a duck?
Fart jokes are funny.
They always are.
Oh, by the way, I love golf as much as anybody. That looks like the surface of another planet.
At course.
Carnoustie.
Yeah.
Carnoustie in Scotland. That looks seriously like a terrifying golf course.
And they're all going to say the same thing. That's where the game was born. That's the way you should play it.
No. Thank you, no. I don't want to hit a ball onto a concrete sidewalk that it's going to run into a weed that's 15 feet tall. Thank you very much. I'll stay home. Give me a scotch, and I'll watch it from the clubhouse. Thank you.
All right. I think they've got some new judges at Jeopardy, and they're being sort of dickish. Last night, they had this category.
We'll give you the classic song's first line. You ID the song for me, please.
All right. And so this was the final clue, the bottom at the bottom of the board, okay?
That's it.
Classic 1,000.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. Rhyme.
Oh, what is you lost that love and feeling?
Oh, you're so close. It's not you, it's you've. Y-O-U.
But that's, I'm with.
Do you think so? I think I would have given it to him.
No, it's you have lost that love and feeling. You've lost that love. It's totally, you lost that loving feeling. It's not the song.
All right, what if he just said, you have lost that love and feeling and didn't do it as a contraction?
The song is You've Lost That Loving Feeling.
That's $1,000 on the line.
That's like when you're talking about what's at Costco and you with your cum laude education go, there's pots, there's pans, there's... You got to use the contractions the right way. You know,
all right.
You've lost. It's not you lost. They've busted people on worse stuff than that. You didn't like it.
No.
You thought he should have gotten
credit. I would have given
they
that.
They don't do it on Jeopardy, though, Rob. You know this, right?
They really do toe the line there.
They have to be sticklers because they've done it forever.
Yeah,
so
you're right. You're right.
I'm kind of siding on that. Was the guy? Were you rooting for the guy that got the question wrong?
I root for everyone to take money from Alex. I just want people to have their money and take it away from Merv.
You don't judge like when you watch Jeopardy. You don't see one particular person.
Are you kidding? By the time they're halfway through the interview in the second break, I know who I want to lose.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm a big rooter against her, much more than a rooter for her.
You know, we ought to. You know what would be fun if we ever had the inclination to do it would be to take the Happy Talk segment of Jeopardy. Where the yes. these
and
some of these
it.
These no these turbo nerds. Tell what they think is a human story.
Oh, it's so
bad. And they're
bad.
So horrifically vanilla. You know, it's like, well, Alex, one time I was at the county fair and I actually knocked down the milk barrel. Thank you.
And
let's
really,
move on to you know Penelope, who is from Sacramento.
It gets really bad if they're like the sixth time returning champion, because then you're down to their sixth best story.
Right.
It's reminiscent of the time I checked out a book with my wife's library card, and it was never noticed, Alex.
Would you love to have one time? Where it's like, here's our returning champion. He's made $130,000. He's back for his eighth time. I'm told you like crush videos. That's right, Alex.
All right, let us close with this. Seth Meyers, Mike, big ice cream news.
An ice cream shop in Scotland has created a new mayonnaise flavored ice cream. And if you're dying to try it, you are probably dying to begin with.
Pretty valid. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Okay. Oh, I'm trying to hit it right now. Hold on, I'll get there. Got to do it the old-fashioned way. Woo! My keyboard froze. Anyway, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. If you have a message for our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Mailing address TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Remember, voting, the engine of freedom and democracy, requires your participation. Please remember to register and vote. It really does matter, people. Really, really, really. Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying, we'll see you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.